Good morning, everyone. 1st of December. Yay! Full on Christmas mode. Look at all you sparkly people this morning. It's good to come together and to worship and to really let's let rip for Advent. As I say, it's the first Sunday in Advent. It always feels late when it's like December, which feels weird, but it is. And as we prepare for the coming again of our Lord, as we think of those two central elements of our faith, as we remember the incarnation of our Lord, the birth of Jesus, but also as we look forward to the final coming of our Lord in glory, and as we think of those key themes of waiting, of preparing, and of loving our neighbour. We shouldn't just be thinking about them at Advent, but it does focus our attention, doesn't it, a bit more when we come to this time. And so the first Sunday of Advent gives us the opportunity to centre our thoughts on hope. And I always think, what a great way to start, that we can have hope despite all that's going on outside, that we can have hope. And if you are lighting an Advent candle in your own homes, it's the prophecy candle this week in remembrance of the prophets who foretold the birth of Christ, and specifically Isaiah and Micah. Sorry, there's just a murder being committed. To anyone on Zoom, I do apologise for that. But it represents the expectation that the anticipation of our coming Messiah. And as I started my Advent reading in the week, I thought to myself, how am I going to celebrate Christmas more meaningfully this year? Because we kind of get into a bit of a routine, don't we? We do the same stuff at the same time. The expectations are the same. How am I going to apply the lessons of what we learn about the miracle of Jesus' birth to my life? And so we're going to think this morning about the miracle of the message. And so as we come to worship, we think about waiting. Across the universe, creation waits. For the prophets to speak their words of expectation and their vision of renewal. May we gather around them today once more and let their longing grip us and lead us into birth and blessing. So come now, my friends, this is the meeting place of promise and prophecy. Let us listen through the ancient words that we might be ready to hear a baby's cry. Amen. And so we'll sing number 102, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
So just before we go into a time of prayer, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who contributed towards the Samaritan's Purse gift for children. We raised £175 that was converted into boxes, plus the individual boxes that you also sent off on your own accord. And so as a thank you, and also I think as we were thinking over these last few weeks, not everybody sees where their box goes. And Samaritan's Purse have very kindly put together a video to show us some of the children receiving their gifts over the years. So if you just want to sit comfortably and enjoy the video.
The children at our school are from lots of different countries around the world. We're a very multicultural school. I think we have about 22 languages now spoken in the school. Well, I think we do lots of different charity work through the year, but the shoebox appeal has really helped our children to get involved and has really motivated them in terms of seeing the journey right through from the start to the end, and actually seeing the children in the other countries receiving the shoebox has made them very enthusiastic about helping other children around the world.
Okay, everyone, don't forget that tomorrow we're going to be wrapping and packing our shoeboxes.
Operation Christmas Child really fits in well to our curriculum, into our PSHCE curriculum and the Global Education curriculum, allowing our children to have an understanding of what life is like for children in other countries and really come to appreciate what the life is like for other children. I think there's quite a bit to the actual packing of the shoeboxes, but it's also they've had an opportunity to try and understand what it will mean, the items that they are putting in, and how much it will mean to the children who are actually unpacking those shoeboxes.
We've been packing things today because we're going to send them to a different country who hasn't got nothing to play with.
Once wrapped and packed, shoeboxes are taken to drop-off points which are conveniently located across the UK and Ireland. These shoeboxes are then collected by an army of volunteers right around the clock, each one driven by their desire to make sure the shoebox reaches the child in time. More volunteers give their time in processing centres, working long hours and checking each shoebox before they're shipped to the distribution partners around the world. Long before the shoeboxes arrive, distribution partners overseas work with their communities to establish which children are to receive the gift of a shoebox on the basis of need alone. In the Crimea, many thousands of children, most of them abandoned by their families, are looked after in state-run orphanages and boarding schools. Tuberculosis of the bone affects many children, most of whom have to stay in hospital. Some of these children are there for years and end up being abandoned by their families. Some orphans and abandoned children are placed with caring adults in family situations and supported by their community. Some children are too sick to attend a shoebox distribution. Wherever possible, Samaritan's Purse distribution partners will visit these children in their homes, bringing joy and restoring the hope that they are loved and not forgotten.
To work.
many years of civil war in Liberia, families are displaced and unemployment is high, and many children find themselves abandoned by parents who are either too poor or simply unable to care for them. Getting around in Liberia can be tough, but wherever possible, distribution partners work to ensure that needy children who live in rural communities do not miss out.
Respond in the way that we've just seen, Lord, a gift in the midst of despair. Lord, we thank you that those young people will have their lives affected in a positive way by people, Lord, that they won't even know. But we thank you, Lord, that we can show your love and your care and your justice to those people, Lord. You are our caring Father, who gave your beloved Son as a ransom for your people. And Lord, as you take away our human fears, you love us, each one of us, for who we are. We pray that you would guide us through this season with quiet, glad anticipation. Help us to pay attention to the poor and to the needy and to the lonely, not just among us, Lord, but beyond our community. Give us a spirit of reflection, patience with each other, and hearts brimming with thanks. God, we come to you in this season, suspended between hope and fulfillment. Let us never forget what you have done. May we be overwhelmed by your mercy, which flows in wave after wave. May we be honest about the darkness within us and perceptive of the light around us. May we make straight the path for the Lord, that together we may see God's glory revealed. Great God, we need to remember that how things are now is not how they've always been, and it's not how they always will be. We need to remember that your kingdom has come, that is growing among us now, and that the time will come when it fills the world with justice and love. And so we pray for your coming to those around the world, whose poverty and pain trauma and grief. Make your kingdom feel like some far-off, distant dream. To those in our community who long to see your love and justice expressed through your followers. To those in your church who seek to be faithful and to make a difference while juggling the needs of themselves and their families. And to us who long to know you more and to live as citizens of your kingdom in this place and time. May your coming be something we hope for, but also something we experience moment by moment during this Advent season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. A popular Christmas song that I've probably shared before is Mary, Did You Know? And one of the questions it asks is, how much did Mary know about her son and what he would accomplish? She's asked if she knew that her baby boy is Lord of all creation, that your baby boy would one day rule the nations, that he's heaven's perfect lamb. And it concludes, this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am, is God himself. And then ironically told, this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. And as we start to think about a bit more about what the message of Christmas is, what the miracle of Christmas is, we come to our reading this morning from Hebrews, and Tony will give you the page number in a minute. But it establishes two primary ideas. First, that God has spoken to humankind, most recently through Jesus. So that's who we should be listening to. And secondly, the fact that Jesus is superior to other spiritual beings, such as angels. But we're going to concentrate on the first one. So I'll ask Tony if he'll come and give us our reading.
The reading is on page 1201, and it's 1 Hebrews, verses 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets as many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Thanks be to God for his word.
As the writer of the book of Hebrews seeks to solidify Jewish believers' trust in Jesus, that Jesus is all they need for their salvation. At the same time, if you read through the rest of the book, it provides stern warnings about the consequences of rejecting Jesus. But it begins by pointing out that God does, in fact, speak to his people. As we read, in the past there were various prophets. Now, however, that message is primarily through Christ and through his Holy Spirit. And so that question is, are we listening to the message? So before we think about that, we'll sing number 459, Master Speak, Thy Servant Heareth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pause now and as we seek to listen to what you have to say to each one of us, individually and as your church family, may we listen. May you speak. May we reveal again the miracle of the message of this Christmas time. Amen. So what have you been asking yourselves this Christmas, this Advent? When's it all going to be over? When I thought to myself in the week, how am I going to celebrate Christmas meaningfully? How am I going to apply Advent and Christmas teachings, the biblical teachings, to my life? It opened up a whole load of questions in my brain, which is not good for my brain this time of year. It needs all the help it can get. But to get myself Christmas ready, I like to watch a good Christmas film. Snuggled up on my sofa with my Christmas snack of choice, or snacks of choice. So I have my favourites. I always like to start with The Grinch, because that really gets me Christmas ready. Miracle on 34th Street. They had the 1947 version on yesterday. Some of you might remember it. And the 1994 version is on next Saturday, just in case you needed to know. And then you have The Holiday, which is more up-to-date. That's a good one. That's all about love. A Christmas Carol, all versions, I don't mind. I like the story. And then there's those old favourites, isn't there? It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas, Home Alone. Home Alone, I'm getting there. I always think with White Christmas, other than 1981, I don't remember a Christmas that's as white as it's ever portrayed on the cards. And then there's the traditional favourites, isn't there? The Wizard of Oz, The Sound of Music. I always say that my sister and I could do the whole narrative and the songs, and that's kind of what we do as we ping each other texts and say what's going to be said next. And then you scour, don't you, the when The Great Escape's going to be on, because that's at least 3 hours that you don't have to get off the sofa, unless you want to make yourself comfortable. And then, of course, Die Hard, that good old traditional Christmas film. And why is it a Christmas film? Because there's a Christmas tree and it's an office party. Always contentious, up for debate. So what are your favourites? What are your favourite Christmas movies?
Elf.
Elf? Die Hard. Yeah, I thought you were nodding very much in agreement there, Marcus. Yeah, yeah. Anyone else?
Polar Express.
Polar Express, yeah. Do you know what? I don't think I've ever seen that the whole way through. Is he just making it up, Louise? Yeah, yeah, he's probably seen it start. And the end, yes, what happens in the middle? You'll lend me the DVD, thank you, that's good. I like that, I've got one lined up already, that's brilliant. But, you know, we can chat about it over lunch, over coffee. But a certain channel is now full on Christmas movies. Some are classics, some are watchable. Some are do you know what I hadn't written down? Boring. Some are feel good. Some are predictable. In fact, many are predictable. Some are syrupy and sugary sweet. And lots of them are just plain awful. But you kind of don't know that, do you, until you've invested a certain amount of time into them. So anyway, I hope that gets you feeling all festive and Christmassy. So how am I going to celebrate Christmas meaningfully? How am I going to keep Christ the centre of Christmas? If you go online, many of the ways that are suggested is watch a Christ-focused film. Better review my watching list then, hadn't I? Because sadly, many Christmas movies don't even mention the name of Jesus. These movies fall way short of the full meaning and the true meaning of Christmas. I always think some, like The Nativity, start off well, but as each sequel comes, I'm just like, no, you've lost the plot now. The animated The Star, if anyone's seen that, yeah, that was quite good. Another suggestion was read an Advent-focused book. And if you want suggestions of what to read this Advent, come see me or anyone else. But I'm currently reading Rediscovering the Magic of Christmas. And the author straight away starts with a challenge. Does he not know that I've got 10 services to prepare? He says, believe, there's a sign that says, believe in the magic of Christmas. But if we're honest with ourselves, many of us have lost the wonder of Christmas for many different, probably personal reasons. And that's a great introduction from the pastor, isn't it? Trying to encourage us all to get Christmas ready. My challenge each year is how to make our annual encounter with Jesus' story new and fresh. How to reawaken our sense of awe and wonder and deepen our faith when life's challenges seem to suck the life out of us. But thankfully and prayerfully, I don't accept that mission in my own strength. We've recently enjoyed AA, as I call it, Active Advent, although it's no accident that I've been saying Active August, because that's what we did in August, but also it feels like Christmas started in August. when the card started to come out, and now too early, you tell them, Pat. But in our, it's what it is, isn't it, in our materialistic, commercialised society. Throughout active Advent, we've been thinking about being messengers, following God, and being a light in our world. How do I apply those teachings to my life? There are signs of Christmas all over now. The lights are starting to come on in the houses. All the lights are on in most towns and cities. The tree goes on in Trafalgar Square on Thursday. There's lots of church posters and events being advertised. But have we lost the wonder of Christmas? Or I wonder, do we wonder when it will all be over? Throughout, I want to think about also the five A's of Advent. Today we're going to think about, on top of everything else, adoration. I'm confident that many things other than Jesus receive much of our adoration during Christmas. Families, parties, presents, our pictures with Santa. None of those things are bad. But I think Jesus alone deserves our adoration. My challenge is to let's make sure that Come Let Us Adore Him is more than a song this Christmas, that Jesus is worthy of all our adoration. Jesus is the centre of Christmas. Christmas is the event of the greatest sacrifice. God became man. It's the day when God gave humankind the greatest gift, his only begotten Son. It's always worth remembering that first Christmas and the miracle of the message. How do we get that message across to a world that is not hearing it? I was in town last week, and the person in front of me in a queue had evidently not been able to find an Advent calendar. I was a little bit like, really? Where have you not been? Because they're all over. The grumpy cashier muttered something about, if we had any, they'd be out. In my head, I was thinking, ho, 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 Christmas has missed her. But by this point, I'm sort of like thinking my thoughts to myself. So, me being me, I helpfully suggested a couple of places where I'd noticed them and added that none had got a manger scene on them. The cashier responded, oh, I don't need that. Just a nice country scene or something. I thought, if only she knows who she's talking to. So I said, surely the nativity scene is the whole reason for Christmas. If we hadn't had it, we'd have no reason to celebrate. We'd have no need for Advent calendars. She looked at me, she thought, oh no. But she agreed with me. And then she said, but I still prefer a country scene. It's like it's a preacher's gift when you have those kind of encounters, because it just makes you reflect upon the significance of what Christmas means to many. But also that we realise that the message of what God has done for each one of us is not being heard, or God's voice is being removed from the narrative of why we celebrate this time of year. It's being more and more replaced by commercialism and materialism. And as I contemplated, I realised that we are so busy living our lives, pursuing our own plans, that many as individuals and we as society have become deaf to the voice of God. We don't hear what God is trying to say to us. God has been trying to communicate his message to humankind throughout the ages, and we aren't getting it. But rather than being disheartened and giving up, the Father heart of God loves us so much that he desperately wants to reveal himself to us in ways that we can understand. So he sends his very own Son to communicate the message in a way that we can understand. human to human. That is the miracle of Christmas. That is the miracle of the message. It's not enough to just know about the miracle of Christmas. We need to experience it in our own hearts and in our own lives. And not just for Advent or for Christmas, but every day of our lives. In our reading that we heard from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, record the miracle of the message from God. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. God sent Jesus to communicate the message in a way that we can understand. The miracle of the message is that God speaks to us today so that we can know him, that we can draw close to him, that we can be reconciled in a relationship with him. God has been speaking throughout history to reveal himself to us. As I said in the passage, by the prophets. He wants us to know him, to love him, to worship him, to adore him. God reveals himself through creation. As we were thinking about lights on Friday, we talked about the sun and the moon and the stars. Those are the things that spring to mind when we think of light. My favourites, the sunrise, don't see many of those, and the sunset. God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. He spoke to the Israelites from the smoke and the fire on the mountain. He spoke to Elijah in a still small voice, to Isaiah in a vision in the temple. All the way through the Old Testament, we recognize all sorts of ways that God spoke. God has been speaking his message through visions and dreams, through the angels, through symbols, through natural events, and many other means. So many ways God speaks. Prior to the coming of Christ, there had been 400 years of silence since the prophet Malachi last uttered his prophecies from God. There had been no prophets until John the Baptist arrived. God's revelations in the Old Testament were incomplete, occasional and progressive, but no single one contained the whole truth. They could not adequately capture the full picture of God's nature. God had been speaking, but people weren't getting the message. They didn't understand God's heart, didn't understand God's plan. There was confusion and ignorance and apathy. But now at last, God sent his Son to bring his message to us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God revealed himself directly to us. Through the words spoken by Jesus, through his message, he did so much more than that. Jesus Christ is the living, divine Son of God. He did more than just proclaim God's message. He is God's message. Jesus came to reveal God, to make him known to us in ways that we can understand. In verse 3, the writer to the Hebrews goes on, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by word of his power. John's Gospel describes Jesus as the Word becoming flesh and living among us. If we want to know what God is like, we look to Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus told Philip? And Jesus himself declares, I and the Father are one. The miracle of the message is not just, in fact, that God speaks to us, but that the message has the power to transform our lives. Jesus is that message. Christmas is the celebration of the greatest message ever proclaimed. God is with us. The Word became flesh. The true light, which enlightens everyone, came into the world. God came near so that we could draw near to Him. The miracle of the message is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Jesus came so that God could reveal Himself and His plan to us in a way that we could understand. Jesus came to proclaim God's message so that we could be set free from sin's hold on our lives. Why would He do that? Because He wanted us to know how much He loves us. He wanted us to know that He created each one of us for a reason, that we might know and love Him. He came to proclaim the message that we have been set free. We don't have to be prisoners to guilt and regret. So how do we celebrate Christmas meaningfully this year? Each of us may have received messages that may have taken our lives in different directions this year. But in the midst of everything that we're going through, there is another message. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In the midst of life's messages, rejoice, He cries, and be exceedingly glad. Someone has written, Jesus had no servants, yet they called Him Master. He had no degrees, yet they called Him Teacher. He did not learn medicine, yet people called Him Healer. He had no army, yet the kings feared Him. He won no military battles, yet He conquered the world. Are we not privileged to worship this unique and incomparable Christ? So make this time of Christmas a time of praise and adoration. The miracle of Christmas is the miracle of the message. God loves you and me. Are we listening? Believe the message God is speaking to you and your life will be transformed. Come, let us adore Him. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, in this holy, sacred moment, You are speaking to our hearts through Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for speaking so wondrously and clearly through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for revealing to us the depths You would go to in order to communicate Your message to us in a way that we could understand. Bless each one of us now. Amen. So as we prepare our hearts to gather around our Lord's table, let's join together and sing number 1157, the communion hymn, Behold the Lamb. All who love the Lord are welcome around his table. Advent is a period of both looking back and looking forward. We light candles to represent Christ, the light of the world, taking on human flesh. But we also light them as a statement of hope as we live in this in-between time, waiting. In a way, it's always Advent for those who have hope in Christ. This Advent, we find ourselves in between who we were and who we will be. We are in between the things that we know and the things that yet are unknown. But as people of faith, our in-between time is always filled with hope. And so we pray. God is with us. We are not alone. Christ is present here. The Spirit moves within us. Gracious God, your song of wisdom echoes through the ages. Your ancient promise still brings us hope. Over the ages, you have called people to embrace your hope and share your love. But even when we have closed our ears to the song, you did not stop singing. You sent prophets and messengers to your people, reminding them of the promised time of peace and justice that would surround the world. They came in the midst of our despair and filled us with hope. Now, as we prepare for that child to be born, we echo that ancient cry, O come, Emmanuel. Ever creating God, remember how you brought order from chaos and spoke light into being. We remember how your mighty hand delivered your people from the oppression of slavery. We give you thanks for the ways that you bring order and freedom to our lives today. Ever-saving Jesus, we remember your first saving act was simply to be born. In your life, you made broken people whole. In your death, you showed us how to be faithful. In your resurrection, you proved that God's response to death is life. We give you thanks for the way that you continue to bring us life. Amen. And we come to give thanks again around the table for the final meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. But actually, again, it was just the beginning, because we remember, we look back, but we also look forward. And so, Jesus, remember how you took the bread, and when you had given thanks, that you broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." In the same way, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks for it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins." And so we pray. Ever-present Spirit, remember how you made yourself known through wind and fire. We testify to your continued presence with us today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make yourself known in the bread and the cup today. May they be our true communion with Christ and with one another. Pour out your Spirit upon us gathered here. As we eat and drink, may we know your presence. As we eat and drink, may we be open to the possibilities of your hope and your power. May we be strengthened in our time of waiting for peace and justice, so that we will have the courage to make the Christmas promise a reality. Amen. As we ponder the mystery of the Incarnation, this table testifies to Emmanuel, God with us, as we anticipate Christ's return. This table testifies to the heavenly banquet that we will one day share during Christ's everlasting reign of justice. So come and experience God's faithfulness, God's good news of great joy. As you receive the bread, please eat it as a sign of your individual response to Christ. The bread that we break is the bread of life, the body of Christ given for you. As you receive the cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ's family. Thank you. Thank you. The cup we share is the cup of promise, the blood of Christ given for you. Let's pray. God of Christmas promise, God of childlike hope, we have eaten and drunk from your table. May the eating and the drinking fill us with hope in a world of despair. May we be beacons of hope as we wait for the day when the world will be changed. Grant that this taste of your banquet, which is to come, will give us the hunger for peace and justice in our community and around the world. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So let's join together and continue in worship as we sing number 435. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us, Mary's son. Let's pray. Go now and let the Lord guide you in his way of truth. Be on your guard that you would not be caught up in the trivialities and anxieties of the world. Be alert at all times and pray for strength to escape the traps that would keep you from God. And may God make you increase in love for one another. May Christ Jesus teach you how to live in God's ways. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen your hearts in holiness as you ready yourselves for the coming of the Lord. We go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Just want to be seated briefly. So for those of you that have read your diaries, you know that we're at church on tour and over the next couple of weeks. We'll be going to the various courts to sing carols and to share the message of Christmas. It's Hughenden Court this Friday. But if you're not resident of the courts, but you'd like to come along anyway, if you just let myself know so that we can make sure that you at least get a mince pie and not just a crumb. So thank you. Bless you.